Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and t-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Four Center podcast feed, kind of live in London. I'm Ken Napsa.
I'm Joseph Scrimshaw, and Ken has always said from the center of the galaxy. Ken originated that, and it's great because it's always been ambiguous. It's not ambiguous today. The center of the galaxy is my hotel room.
As I laugh at a sip of water, it is. And with the great view of the, what area is this? The docks? Lightly?
We're down in the docks.
Down in the docks.
Oh, yeah, there's dock equipment. It looks like the Razor Crest just fell into something. That's what we're looking at.
Oh, it does look like Trask.
It looks like Trask and some Moncal are about to pull us out of the docks when we fall in. This is an exciting thing to record. It's real different. We just got a little zoom. It's going to sound different than just audio-wise than a standard episode. And it's always also going to feel different because we don't have elaborate notes. This is wild and free. We're just a couple hours after the big Lucasfilm panel. And Ken got some food. I got some beer and some action figures. We've fulfilled some basic celebratory needs. And now we're going to try our best to break down some of the big picture news from the Lucasfilm panel. Yeah. we got an order of stuff that we're going to talk through, Ken. Mm-hmm. But we also had to talk through, hey, can we talk about that one? Can we talk about that
one?
So some things that we were shown were explicitly like, hey, please don't share this.
Yeah.
Other things are released publicly, like the Ahsoka trailer. And like the Skeleton Crew, we saw a little teaser, but we think that was maybe supposed to keep that to ourselves.
Yeah.
Sure, other people are talking about it, but listeners know that we like to try to not spoil things or help the company release things when the company wants to, when Lucasfilm wants to.
Yeah.
Any other ground rules you want to talk about?
No. I also want to highlight thanks to anyone who stopped us already to say hi, but if you stopped us while we left the panel looking for food and trying to get out through a wall of people, we may have had blank, almost concerned looks on our faces because it was an adventure just to get out of there today. They got to hopefully work on that. But we some folks took some time to say hello. And I was just more like, do you know the way out?
Yep.
Do you know the way out?
Yep. Imagine 4,500 people trying to exit a convention center that is sort of constructed like an intestine that's been stretched out.
Stretched out intestine.
There was some constipation in the line.
Yeah.
But that's not what we're here to talk about.
That's not it. Let's talk about Star Wars.
Okay, so we're going to try to do this in sort of order of the most amount we can share, the excitement. So let's start with the movies. Ken, that was the big question of this panel. Are they going to announce a film for Star Wars in the movie theaters? Are they going to announce more than one? Are they going to give us a title? And, of course, what we got is this great moment where Kathleen Kennedy said, hey, George always told me Star Wars goes forwards and backwards.
Yeah.
So I'm going to bring out three directors in movie theaters. We're going to have something that's happening in the past, the sort of present of Star Wars, and the future. Mm. These three directors... James Mangold directing a film in the era of the Dawn of the Jedi.
Love it.
That James Mangold described as a biblical epic, talking about the discovery of the Force, the decision to use the Force. Dave Filoni is the present director, clarifying that it is a cinema, an actual in-the-theaters movie that seems to be a culmination of the New Republic confronting the Imperial Remnant. Mm. And then finally, the New Jedi Order.
Yes.
Sharmeen Obaid-Chinoy, the director who has been discussed and rumored to be involved with a big project. A lot of people thought this was the only thing that was going to be announced. If the video isn't online, if people haven't got to see, there's a great theatricality to it of Sharmeen explained that the story was going to be about a new Jedi school is started. But some people don't want that. Some people don't like that. There are going to be forces trying to stop that. And it's going to be up to a venerable Jedi master to fight the fight, help the students, lead the way. And she was a great show person.
She really
Charmaine.
Was.
She's like, do you want to meet the Jedi Master? And people did scream. I screamed a high pitch, a low pitch, every pitch I could find because I wanted it to be true. And damn, it was true.
Yeah.
Rey Skywalker walks out onto the stage. And I screamed.
Yeah, no, I'll say this. A lot of this stuff, particularly around the movie news stuff, there's so many rumors and so many stories, and we've been half covering or covering them, and we always talk about waiting until it's official. Some of the rumors were relatively correct, we'll say, but here's the issue I have with it. I almost felt like, oh, yeah, was my reaction. Oh, okay, so that is true. And that's not the full joy I wanted to experience. So I had a great time and a great moment. But, you know, this is one of the reasons why I think I try to avoid some rumors until the company's ready to announce it or until it's, you know what I mean? Just that feeling of oh, okay, so what that thing I kind of heard is true.
Okay.
Takes away my joy in the moment of going, oh, my God, this is happening.
Did you hear rumors about?
Well, yeah.
I mean, there's been then general discussion of, like, Jay-Z's been having lunch with Kathleen.
The rumors of three movies are going to be announced, all that kind of stuff. I don't want anyone to get me wrong. I'm super excited. It just, I had a little bit of the, oh, okay, versus, oh, my God.
See, yeah, and I did not take any of those rumors about Daisy Ridley having lunches, confirmation that Rey Skywalker is back. I think the whole discussion of Damon Lindelof, which I believe that reporting that he wrote a script Justin Britt Gibson, right? And that they turned it in and it didn't work. that's that. I believe all that, but there had been such a focus on the reporting being that Lindelof's going to kind of lead this team into the future, and almost a picture that Charmin Obed-Chinoy was kind of like a director.
Director, yeah.
But it was Lindelof and team who are, you know, blazing into the future. So for me to see her walk out there and own it and describe from her perspective, her previous work, her life experience, what she was going to bring to this project, that to me was different than the reporting.
Yes.
And absolutely thrilling. And I, maybe you've also heard James Mangold rumors.
That I had not.
Yeah. So and so there's a ton to talk about there, but I think part of what's thrilling to me about it, you can talk just a little bit of business, and then we can get back to the show.
Yeah.
Part of what to me was thrilling about it is with Mangold, this is a director that Lucasfilm has a relationship with.
Yep.
Immediately after this was a bunch of Indiana Jones stuff.
Oh, yeah.
He's got a track record. He just delivered for them. Doesn't seem shaky, right? Dave Filoni, I don't think his relationship with Lucasfilm is shaky.
Not strained. No.
And this film is clearly going to be at least, if not the culmination, a culmination of storytelling he's already deeply involved with.
Yeah.
Stable. Then you get to Charmin Obed-Chinoy, and perhaps the, you know, she's newer to working with Lucasfilm, having only done a couple episodes of Ms. Marvel.
Yeah.
But Daisy Ridley in the character of Rey, pretty solid. We're not dealing. Who knows? Maybe a Taika movie will happen. Maybe a Kevin Feige movie will still happen.
Right.
The other person whose name I can't remember who might still.
Sean Levy.
Yeah. But all those feel like, hey, you want to come play in the sandbox? This is Mangold, Filoni, Rey Skywalker.
Yeah.
From a business perspective, with the track record of stumbles that Lucasfilm has had with announcements, these things feel solid to me.
Yes, more than anything recently. And that, you know, the Rogue Squadron video announcement was pretty solid, but it didn't work out. Things don't work out. You know, if something were to happen here, I totally would get the business sense of it. But to your point, yeah, I think this was even Kathleen seemed that with a wink of a nod and a nod kind of said, oh, yeah, I hear some of you might want to know what we're doing on the film side. Yes, that we all had that question. I think it's a great question to ask. There was a confidence in this presentation, even though there wasn't a lot of details.
Yeah.
Didn't need to be.
No.
There was a confidence. No release dates. No names. Confirmation of 2025. Obviously, that release date still, I think, holds true. But, yeah, just a confidence into, hey, here's where we're going in the future. And in the past, technically.
And for me, like, we've been talking for years about that Civil War announcement event of the film Civil War that Marvel did at El Capitan.
Yes.
And that was just like, get excited, it's coming. I can't remember how many details or whatever. Right. It was just like, we know where we're headed and you should be excited.
Yeah.
And for me, I finally got what I wanted. Not at IgerCon, not at a phone call, not a random tweet on a Tuesday morning, but Kathleen Kennedy saying, we know what we're doing. We're looking way back into the past. We're looking into the future, farther on the timeline we've ever been. We're the Mandoverse is going six seasons in a movie, maybe, you know? It was a picture of what we want to do and why, and it was about the spirit of it, not promising a name, release dates, writers. It wasn't any of those crunchy details. It was the heart of the ideas.
Yeah, no, I think that's what I'm really excited. All these three announcements make sense, if that makes sense, in terms of what they're going to be covering. Mangold's film, 25,000 Years in the Past, Dawn of the Jedi, even have Jedi Prime on the logo for the new timeline. All that kind of makes sense, and you know, the fact that they do a movie in the past, a movie now, and a movie in the future might not seem like a big surprise. But I'm sitting there thinking, yeah, this isn't some vague. I like, to me, Rogue Squadron was vague.
Yeah. When's it set? How's it the big picture story forward?
Who are they fighting? Is it truly Top Gun in space? And that's not a bad thing. But,
no.
You know, we can still get a version of that. But this just makes a lot of sense. By sitting there, if I'm sitting there as a fan wondering what happens after Rise of Skywalker, how did the Force come about? Who were the first Jedi? The fact that they're like, yeah, we're wondering too, and we're confident in the answers we're going to give you. I like that.
And you know what you made me think is, without overplaying it, I think what they communicated is the Disney Plus shows can tell bigger stories or they can tell smaller stories. For the movies, they got to be big.
Yes.
And the creation of the Jedi Order is pretty big.
Yes.
The New Republic facing down an a massive Imperial remnant and thinking the battle is won, mm-hmm. which ties directly to the sequels mm-hmm. and is, you know, connected to the Mandoverse.
Yeah.
Big. A new Jedi Order on screen 15 yeah. years after Rise of Skywalker, Jedi Master Rey Skywalker mm-hmm. and forces don't want the Jedi to exist. Those things are big.
Big.
And I think that's the difference between, like, you know, back in the day with the announcement of the anthology films or the Star Wars story films, mm. there was this kind of like, oh, we can tell little side stories. And Disney Plus became a vehicle for stories that are big and important and we love, but maybe in the scale of the galaxy feel a little bit smaller.
Yeah.
And all three of these projects are like, these are big effing moments
yes.
for the galaxy.
I'm glad you brought that up. And this is one of those, I don't want it to come across as too negative. This was such a wonderful experience. And a lot of people didn't get to go into those panels, into the panel today. It ran late, right? And yep. so we knew it was on paper for 90 minutes. Checking my watch, not because I was bored, but curious. We had 6 minutes left in the panel and we were just getting to the final.
Ahsoka.
And I thought, and I was even making faces with you, and we were sitting next to Alex and Molly Damon. I'm like, I mouthed to Molly. I said, no movies. No movies. They're not going to do this. And it went into big overtime. And I had this thought, and this is a confession. I loved everything. Can't wait to talk about the TV show stuff. I've been loving the Disney Plus world. I love sitting down and watching. I want a movie on Disney Plus. Give me a smaller story. I had this thought. 2017 Orlando, Last Jedi trailer, huge. Rise of Skywalker, Chicago, huge, huge, huge. Anaheim lacked that. Anaheim mm-hmm. 2022 had some wonderful stuff, but it lacked that big oof. And this confident announcement of these three movies did feel big, even without any details. That is, I think Star Wars belongs on every medium it can get to right now.
Yeah.
But we know it does need to hit the big screen again. And to finally get it, that was very fulfilling. So anything I had about, maybe I kind of heard the story before and it's not as surprising as I want it to be. I had this thought of, man, Orlando sitting there waiting to get the information on episode 8 was big game feel, like mm-hmm. to borrow a sports term. And so was, you know, Roll It Again was a big game feel. We didn't get all that. We don't have a trailer. We don't have that yet. But they had Neil Scanlon come out. They had all the creatures behind it. So it looked bigger. It looked, and that's not a slide on anything on the Disney Plus TV slide. We got some great stuff today. I think you're right. That was exciting. And knowing that, yeah, there's no more doubts. We are going to have something, and this is what we're going to have. I'm excited about that.
Yeah, absolutely. In terms of the presentation of the panel itself, yeah, it was mm-hmm. funny because we're getting great stuff.
Yeah.
We're getting to see lots of teasers and footage and lots of answers wonderful. Coming together for various things, some of which we can talk about and some of which we can't.
But yeah.
Things coming together in a great way.
Yeah.
But then for me, it was running long. It was wrapping up. They, you know, had some great Ahsoka stuff. So it felt like, that's some fireworks.
Yeah.
And then they had Neil Scanlon's creatures, which were amazing.
Yeah.
But it almost felt like, are you going to try to button this with Grumgar? Are you going to try to like pull a Grumgar and go like, hey, you saw Grumgar in person. That's good. Right. I really did feel like, oh no. So it almost felt like a good sleight of hand of like, did you think Grumgar was the end? Because actually, here are three movies. It worked really well for me.
There was a moment I thought, oh, this is how they're going to end it. And I was going to have to be honest on a microphone and be like, that was a bad ending, even though I loved everything about it. And there was an awkward moment where the host, they wrap it up and Neil Scanlon's still standing there. And then Kathleen Kennedy kind of had to say, go.
You're good, Neil. Don't stand here while I introduce three films. Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, okay. But then I thought, they can't end. It's like when a comic has the final bit and you know it doesn't work and you're like, all right, what else can I leave you on?
There was Constable Zuvio was up there. And yes. There was a camera close-up of Constable Zuvio. I was like, are we going out of this?
Is that
Constable
it?
Zuvio? But we are not. Let's dive into the movies just a little bit more. I want to start with the one that's probably making the most noise, and certainly the one that I am most excited about is the new Jedi Order with Rey Skywalker. Some of... There's so much to discuss. There's Daisy Ridley returning in the character of Rey Skywalker, returning mm-hmm. sooner than I think maybe some of us thought, but certainly a lot of us hoped. I know that there are so many fans out there mm-hmm. who that image at the end of Rise of Skywalker mm-hmm. of Rey with her lightsaber built out of her staff and her life experience but connected to everything she learned from the Skywalkers and from Han Solo and from Ben Solo igniting her blade, fully formed and ready to begin her adventures.
Yeah.
And all of us going like, can we follow the Jedi with the beautiful golden lightsaber? Can we? So there's the thrill of just that.
Yeah.
Then there's the thrill of a new Jedi Order on screen fully.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we know that Luke's has kind of some beginnings. We've seen a little bit of a functioning Jedi Order in one 4-issue comic book run, Rise of Kylo Ren. But obviously the new Jedi Order is huge for expanded universe Legends fans.
Yes.
Getting to spend all that time. So to see Rey is one thing. To see a new Jedi Order is another thing. But then to hear the director talk about her experiences and why she wants to do that.
Yeah.
And just get, I'll say this quick and then I want to give you back to Talking Hammer. We've talked to, when her name first floated in rumors, you know, I wasn't familiar. I Googled her and discovered, oh, she has an accomplished Academy Award winning documentary filmmaker who has detailed the struggles of women in various cultures for their full rights and power. And then also she's directed a couple of episodes of Mrs. Marvel, which is important, but I kind of couldn't, once I looked that up, I was like, that's what we should be saying.
Yeah.
Academy Award winning director with this clear real life experience of the power and the value of women and fighting for it.
Yeah.
And it's great that that she has some experience with Lucasfilm and Ms. Marvel, but I just, like, I could see the headline coming, like, person who's only directed two episodes, like, no Academy Award winning.
Academy Award
documentary filmmaker with lived experience. So for her to stand there and go, I think Star Wars is about the oppression, and that somebody's always going to come along to tell you, you can't have that, you can't do that, you can't be that. And somebody feels that way about the Jedi. They shouldn't exist again.
Yeah.
There shouldn't be a new Jedi Order. So I am going to direct this film where a venerable Jedi Master, Rey Skywalker, helps her students stand up and say, no, that has layers and layers of power to it in Star Wars and in the real world.
Yeah, because when you're looking to go past episode 9 and the normal kind of questions pop up, all right, cool, we're going to start Jedi Order. That makes sense. Rey's back. Amazing. You know, who are the villains going to be? Are they going to have red blades? Are they going to be the third version of the Empire? All this kind of and those are fair questions to ask, and maybe some version of that emerges. But I think for it to really work, you have to find what it's about, find those themes. And I thought in a short amount of time, she did explain what she was looking into.
Yeah.
And I think you're right to talk about some of the things she's done in the past. They will apply. And by the way, making a actually pretty good independent movie, one okay dinosaur film, then get a Star Wars film, that wasn't questioned as much in the past. Mm-hmm. Turns out it might have been good reason to question. So I've already seen some tweets of who, what, when, and where to get her there. You know, she's earned it. I don't know many Academy Award winners. So happy to have her on board. And she seems to understand how the story she wants to tell.
Yeah.
And I'm sure if Daisy, Rey herself is having lunch at Lucasfilm, the idea of her coming back to Rey, there's got to be that reason, right?
Yep.
And I'm with you. I'm shocked. Not in the sense of I felt that she was going to walk away. She said the right things around Rise of Skywalker. I've done that. I don't want to go back to it. But that was spun immediately into Daisy Ridley slam Star Wars. No. If you read her comments there, it was like, I've done all I can for this character right now.
Her journey is complete. So give me a new journey and then we can talk, which is clearly what's happening. It isn't 5 minutes after Rise of Skywalker. It's 15 years.
15 years.
Creating plenty of room for stories for what did Rey go through.
Yes.
But her Jedi Order is up and working and thriving. And we'll see if something changes along the way. Maybe this is a nuance that won't be as important as it sounds to me right now.
Okay.
But the fact that the film was described as the Jedi Order, this new Jedi Order is emerging, and there are forces that don't want that. That is, I mean, in some ways that is different because a lot of stories are in Legends Expanded Universe, right? Like, what external threat do the Jedi have to defend the galaxy from, right?
Yep.
The prequels are about the Jedi Order being taken down, you know, by Palpatine not wanting the ancient order to fall.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's like Palpatine destroying an ancient tree, right?
Mm.
The idea that somebody comes along and is like, it's not that I'm necessarily even trying to invade the galaxy or whatever. It's just you're starting something new and good that will stand up for change, will stand up for the little people, and I'm not okay with that. So it's not that you're defending the rest of the galaxy. Someone is coming to crush you because the guardians of peace and justice shouldn't exist.
Yeah.
That's a different perspective that's really interesting to me.
Yeah, we're so far out from knowing any details. We might not be that far off from the movie, but it seems it could be. I'm so intrigued by what you're saying because immediately it goes to political powers, money powers. Who's in the galaxy right now following the fall of the Final Order, who is looking around to profit off what's going on and exactly what you're talking about, leading to this group has returned. I like the idea. Again, we don't know all the deals. I like what you suggested, that the Order has returned. She's doing this, and she's in the process of building it out more, perhaps, but that their mere presence is a problem to some other people trying to get more power is way more interesting to me than immediately pitching as the galaxy's good, and we got another threat coming from the outside, which has worked for going into episode 7, which has worked for the First Order for me. And has worked. It might be working in the Mandoverse. I'm fine with that. It's intriguing and slightly different than what I would expect.
Yep, absolutely. And you know, a lot more to still figure out. It was funny to me that when I finally did check Twitter, one of the first trending things I saw is like, because I was asking, like, out of all this panel, I wonder what's trending. And I know we all get slightly different trending things these days. But the number thing that was trending was John Boyega. Hey, look, I love Finn. I would love it if this is a Rey and Finn vehicle. Yeah. Maybe the first scene will be, where's Finn?
Yeah. Yeah.
I've got nothing but patience. We don't know when this movie is coming out.
Yeah.
We don't know the story of Finn. We don't know exactly everything that Rey went through.
Yeah.
You know, maybe she'll be grizzled with a scar because she's been through a lot. We don't know. So I got patience for where the Finn answer is. I love Finn.
Yep.
I want him to be centered. I want him to have stories told. But I want to just enjoy the return of Rey Skywalker, Jedi Master, and worry about Finn when the time is right. But right now, I just want to stay in that place of excitement.
I think that's a great way to look at it. Of course, you can have the Finn questions. I think a lot honestly relates to John Boyega, if he's ready to come back, if he's interested, and if there's a story that works, if Daisy gets on the old text machine and says, hey, sends him a WhatsApp and says, what's going on? It could work. But I like the idea of patience, including, you know, Oscar Isaac and Poe. Yeah, of course. Fair question to ask. The big question is Space Chancellor Larma Daisy going to be in? That's what I think. There's a lot of those questions, but there's a lot of joy right now for this moment.
Yeah. Beyond words, the thing that I'm most excited for, and I really didn't think it was going to happen this soon. So thrilled by that. Let's talk about the other films. James Mangold, he said that he'd been thinking about pitching a Star Wars movie, basically, and that he was really interested in the idea of, well, what would it be like before people were actively using the Force? And it's more they're discovering it and deciding to use it. And he said this whole story snapped into place in his head. And he also said something I think that's really important to a lot of Star Wars fans is he asked himself, what genre is this? We talk about that so often. So many Star Wars fans do that Star Wars is this genre stew and that you can take one genre and just really kind of push it through the Star Wars mold and it becomes this sort of beautiful thing that's a Western or a romance, but through Star Wars eyes.
Yeah.
And he said that the answer for him was like a kind of old school Ten Commandments, biblical epic.
Yeah.
How did you take that? And are you excited for it?
I actually really am. A different kind of sword and sandal Star Wars picture. I really am intrigued by him being involved. Of course, he was rumored the Boba Fett movie at one point was his rumor. And he's one of those chaps that gets on Twitter and has no problem smacking down rumors or naysayers or trolls. He and James Gunn kind of have the same vibe sometimes. Mangold's a little bit more aggressive at times. And then here he is, you know, works in the system,
Indy 5, we'll talk about that if we want to at the end. I think we saw a lot of Indy 5 stuff we maybe can't say. So the trailer's public. Looks great. I think it looks wonderful. Mm-hmm. And so for him to be like, yeah, this system's working for me, and I'm clicked in on this idea that has been around. There was strong rumors that this was what Benioff and Weiss were going to do, the creation of the Jedi Order kind of stuff. I'm not saying that as fact. I'm just saying that was the rumor of the time, particularly at one Comic-Con. So there's something about him exploring it. I'm a big fan of Logan. I think that works for me.
Yeah.
And it's so vague. I'll tell you, the logo of that era, which is not the logo of the movie. They put up this timeline of eras based on Kathleen Kennedy saying George said this goes backwards and forwards. And it's Jedi Prime from Last Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not that's the character, I don't know. But it just made me – they're aware of it in a way. Of course they are. They don't just watch Star Wars. They build it. But that brought me some comfort too, that we're really going to get to that because that's a big question.
If that is – if Octo is supposed to be the beginning of the Jedi Order, right?
The
emergy story, that storytelling that they thought it might have been Ossus, but actually it was this even older place, Octo.
Yeah.
This could also be the origin of the caretakers, the Lanae.
This is so funny. I'm not super familiar with Mangold other than some of his work and his Twitter presence. I've never really seen an interview with him. I'll be honest, I thought he was older. And he's older than you or I, but... He had a real different energy that I've just not spent a lot of time watching James Mangold. I want to know right now, you know, if they're like, cool, you want to go to this time period? Here's some things we already know.
Yeah.
And he's like, great, fish people, let's do it. You know, I just don't know.
Yeah. But the genre excitement was cool. The idea of this is a genre. It's also like all three of them. I mean, Filoni's Filoni, and he's practiced at being sort of like, aw shucks, and I'm having fun being kind of secretive and winking and nodding. So that's his energy. But both Mangold and Sharmino Bedjanoy had great, like, this is our passion project. This is not a movie we've been assigned to or signed up for.
Yeah.
And I think that was powerful because I think it was also Kathleen Kennedy saying, like, look, we've partnered with these storytellers who are excited about the story they're telling.
Yes.
The thing with Mangold that I'm really excited to see is I trust him as a storyteller and I trust his vision. There's something about Star Wars that has that love of the ancient, right?
Yes.
That is this going to feel like how are they going to get around feeling like that's the beginning of sort of Star Wars?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Of feeling like there's more ancient even after this because the galaxy is that ancient.
Yeah.
You know? And to me, I think it's maybe about like how much do you build the culture? How much do you build the conflict? Mm-hmm. Are you dealing with societies who are kind of aware that, yeah, there's something else out there that connect us all? But what happens for somebody to go, yep, we're calling it the Force.
Yes.
And I'm bringing together other people who feel it. You know, like...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, yeah.
But just like the I know some people worry about sort of originitis, for lack of a better word.
Sure.
Of don't tell me all the answers. Or I think I'm coming from our perspective is always his original trilogy generation. Like that was one of the 8,000 things that people had against the prequels of like,
yes.
Why would I want to know where Darth Vader came from? He's awesome. He had a bad day one day and he turned out like this. Why do I need to know where he came from, right?
Yeah.
I would assume that some of that has softened, but I think that's going to be a really interesting conversation in the community of are people really excited to see the beginning of the Jedi? Or is it like going to have a little bit of like we're concerned to see is too much of the map going to be filled in?
Yeah, no, that's fair. We're going so far back. I think even I, it's like, are we going to see the Jedi decide what robes to wear or all that kind of stuff? Maybe later on. But yeah, there's something appealing to me about this thing. This power is discovered, felt, contextualized. And what do you do with that power? It's such a wonderful way to approach it. It's so Star Warsy that, yeah, I trust someone like him. Again, not super, super, super familiar with his work, but I'm just such a big fan of what he did with Logan. With Wolverine in there and Patrick Stewart's involvement, all this stuff. To get into the core of, hot damn, we got this thing. It might change the universe. It might change the galaxy. What do we do with that? And let's establish that and who's drawn to it. Who wants to set ground rules? Who doesn't want to set ground rules? Who wants to be evil? Who wants to do this? Cain versus Abel right from the beginning, right? This might be that kind of stuff that the biblical epic he talked about. It's perfect for Star Wars. And not Old Republic-ly either. Not that I'm saying worry. Old Republic is still up on that chart.
Yeah, it was on the timeline.
It's on the timeline. So we'll get there one day, I think. But to go beyond that.
Yeah. Mm. It's really interesting to think about it as obviously the Force in people who believe in it and use it can address it like a religion. Tarkin calls it a religion. Right? Yeah, in the first film. Mm-hmm. So to not necessarily make a bunch of one-to-one religious comparisons to the real world.
Yeah.
But it's interesting that he called it a religious epic. If there is, it's probably a lower tech society, mm-hmm. but there's a society, these years ago, and the idea of disrupting it by taking something that, there's some weirdos in the hills on various planets who tap into this thing and kind of know it, but we're going to give it a name.
Yep.
And we're going to create an order that says this is how it should be treated. This is how it should be wielded.
What you should do. Yeah.
I think that's when he called it Ten Commandments, the idea of, again, not any one-to-one religious comparison, but just the idea of literally, we have meditated and we're coming down from the mountain with ideas.
We got
and
the tablet.
Who's upset by what's on the tablets or that there shouldn't be tablets?
Yes.
Stuff is really interesting to me in terms of the ideas of it.
Not to get too into the woods on the Old Testament. But there's a lot of potential conflict there that doesn't immediately involve red blades and blue and green blades.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, we'll see. Maybe the end is a lightsaber igniting.
There you go.
Yeah.
Final shot. We'll see in 10 years when this film comes out.
Yeah. We're talking about three films, too, of in the earliest that one can come out is 2 years from now.
That's
so
crazy.
That's crazy. We still got one more film to talk about,
yes,
and then we'll dive into some of the television show stuff. So this one's a little bit harder to talk about because I'm just going to say this blatantly. In the Mandalorian section of the panel, they showed us a scene from the next episode of Mandalorian.
Right.
And it's a lot of things are coming together. I'm not going to say a single other thing about it, but a lot of things are coming together so that when at the end of the panel, they announced that Dave Filoni is doing this film.
Yeah.
It's making sense that the Mandoverse, it's making a lot of sense of how to look at the Mandoverse shows.
Yes.
Like The Mandalorian, Skeleton Crew, Ahsoka, that they're going to have their little arcs. But the big showdown with the New Republic Order and, he's in the public Ahsoka trailer.
Yeah.
So Thrawn.
Thrawn.
Thrawn's remnant versus the New Republic. Knowing that story is going to be Filoni's in cinemas movie. I think it's got to affect the way that we look at the scope of the television shows and how far we expect the storytelling to go in sort of each season.
Yeah. Throwing Book of Boba Fett in there as well, right? And you've got this is long moved past the Lone Wolf and Cub stuff we talked about. And I understand some people might just want Mando to stick like that, but we're very clearly going to some giant things here. I'm struggling too on what to actually say.
Yeah.
The clip that they were the about 7 minute clip they showed. No details. There's just one thing that made Alex Damon stand up and applaud. So it's exciting, and all of it makes sense.
Yeah.
And that whether or not this started with Jon Favreau going, "Hey, I'd like to write a Boba Fett story. We'll call it The Mandalorian." But it was addressed in the panel today. I think we've heard this before, but even kind of confirming that John said, cool, and they don't take their helmets off. Dave has to say, well, actually they do. So let's use that.
But let's make that a gift.
And let's make it a gift. And it's spinning out into something so big and wonderful for this era, this early New Republic era. I'm more excited about that than I would have thought. I'm more excited than I would have thought.
Me too. And it's nice to know just a little bit of the shape of things to come.
Yes.
So we're going to start talking about Ahsoka here now. But Ahsoka, everybody's kind of got the vibe of it looks like she's maybe going to face Thrawn.
Yeah.
Now we can kind of go like, yeah, she's not going to finish Thrawn.
Yes.
Because he seems like he's the big bad of this movie that's going to come out.
Yes.
Whenever.
Whenever. It's a good question.
Whenever. Whenever. So moving into Ahsoka, Filoni gave a real, real nice compliment, or Favreau gave a real nice compliment to Filoni.
Yes.
Which I think is worth mentioning because I think it comes up in Star Wars conversations a lot. Things like it have been said, but Favreau made it so clear of like, here's the deal. Lucasfilm invites people to come in with fresh ideas in their personality and their genre and the thing they want to do. And the person they always talk to is Dave Filoni. And Favreau said, Filoni never squashes the person's idea.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They say, you got something. Filoni says, you got something new? How can we make sure that it works within the thematic moral guardrails set up by Lucas?
Yeah.
And some of that is going to come down to like, oh, actually, they don't take their helmets off. Or actually, that person died 20 years ago. You can't, you can't really do that or whatever.
Yeah.
So clearly some of it's just the nerdy timeline stuff. But the way that Favreau said it was much more about like, Filoni is being a sort of a guardian of the balance of the new and old in Star Wars. And basically saying, creators come at me with the wildest, newest idea you have. And the answer is never going to be no. The answer is going to be how. Yeah. How do we make that and still respect what has come before?
Yeah, I thought it was a great compliment. And you know, the man in the cowboy hat who added like a duster or something this time out. You know, this is what I think I've always appreciated about him. I think there can be a cult of Dave around him that he didn't ask for, but it's kind of put there on them. So sometimes, over the years, some of the punditry around Dave and give him everything has rubbed me a little wrong. But I love the way Favreau talked about it because I think it's in line with not only what I think we've seen of Dave and his content, but in line of what I would want to hear. It doesn't have to be with what I want to hear only, but just that no ideas off the table. We find a way to make it work, and not necessarily just the canon and the weed stuff, but like what is it telling the Star Wars story?
Yeah.
And Dave's always had an understanding of that clearly. And it continues that gives me a lot of confidence. And even if I do have an idea or an episode or a character that I'm not sure of, that it not that it's just gone through the Dave car wash, but just that this is why I celebrate this era so much. It's why I get so excited about this era, the Disney era, and I'll defend it. Not that the corporation doesn't need my defense, but Star Wars itself is it knows what it wants to do. It knows the story it's telling that's in line with what hit the screens in 77. I really believe that, and I love that little section. I'm glad you highlighted it.
Yeah, it was just powerful, and I think it really tied to it. Made a lot of sense that Favreau took the time to say that once the announcements of the three films came out.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes. Nice
dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side?
helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
So let's talk a little bit about Ahsoka. This trailer was made public. Well, I think probably some of the people listening have pored through the trailer more carefully than we have. We've had time to watch it once in the screening. Obviously, some super exciting stuff. Confirmation that Mary Elizabeth Winstead is playing Hera.
Mm-hmm. No casting on Jason Syndulla, we'll say. Nothing yet.
Yeah, we haven't found it yet. Maybe Grogu's babysitting him. We will find out. Maybe he's a Mandalorian too now, Jason Syndulla. Just run down some of the news. They revealed, of course, August 2023 is the release for Ahsoka. Everything else in here is just kind of notes of stuff I want to talk about. But let's start here, Ken.
Yeah.
There's that line of dialogue where Ahsoka directly just says, heir to the Empire.
Yes.
How did you feel about that? About that in combination with the revelation that Filoni is directing a movie? Do you feel like, between that just direct phrase, heir to the Empire, with the confirmation of a big New Republic versus Imperial Remnant, how are you feeling?
I'm not mixed. I'm excited. I've been on record as I love Heir to the Empire, the Heir to the Empire trilogy. I'm very thankful to Timothy Zahn for continuing Star Wars when it was close to being gone. Really was. Over the years, those have not been my favorite stories. This is not a direct adaptation. But I find myself oddly mixed at like, okay, they are just doing it in a way. But what I liked about it, and to say that Dave with Ahsoka or even the movie that he's going to do is taking legends and combine it with new canon, there's a spirit to that. He didn't exactly say that, but there was a line. I didn't write it all down there, but like, he's always been a fan of that. And he's always been respectful of that, maybe even more than me. And that what I got from him is this is an era ripe for storytelling. It's not just the New Republic putting logos on things and finding out how to do what they want to do as a government. It, without a doubt, it makes sense. The Empire is only 5 years old in terms of it's being quote unquote gone. There be remnants. It all makes sense. The contingency plan, all the Palpatine stuff makes sense to put it all together. And to have it unified behind perhaps one leader makes a ton of sense. I'm more excited for that than I would have thought. We'll see. And here's the thing. Here's going back to what I'm saying, these nice things about Dave. Some of the stuff I personally over the years have not liked as much about the Heir to the Empire trilogy. Not that they'll be washed away, but everything will be in line with the Star Wars of 77 to me.
Yeah. I think – go ahead.
Yeah, no, and I just think those books at times weren't.
I mean, I think I will speak simply from my own personal opinion, as I have in the past. I have not read that trilogy since I was a wee child in North Minneapolis, cuddled up by my heater.
Yeah, yeah.
My space heater in my bedroom.
Yeah.
And so one of my first reactions coming out of this panel was Rey Skywalker's back.
Yeah.
Damn, I need to reread those books. So I'm definitely going to reread those books. But for my personal taste, some of the things like Obi-Wan Kenobi no longer being able to communicate with Luke, the Yasal Miri being this sort of like, to me, they struck me as a kid that like, hey, if Superman gets too powerful, throw some kryptonite at him and then you just kind of don't have to deal with his powers. And I have personally always really bumped. Mm-hmm. I need to reread those books and see how I feel now. And with full respect to people that that's their entry to Star Wars. They love it. No disrespect to you talking about my personal opinions. But I feel like maybe some of those sharp corners of that, the part of the story that we reacted poorly to, will be interpreted. And those, so maybe some of the sharp corners will be sort of rounded off, and the heart of it that people love so much will be present.
Yeah, I think, and I'm definitely looking forward to that. And the Ahsoka trailer, just the fact that there's people with red blades running around, you know, those kind of things, it gets me excited that there's a big scope for this, and that they know what they're doing. They know what they want to do. Even going back to London 2016 was when they announced Thrawn was back.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't exactly the groundwork for the Mando yet. You know, that was not probably in play. But the fact that we're able to, from that moment to now, that it's all going to kind of sync up and be something bigger.
Yeah.
That's exciting as a fan.
Yeah. And the handling of Thrawn in Rebels, I think, makes this exciting, because I think Filoni has already demonstrated that he can play in this era with that character, create new canon and still make it work and be exciting to the people who've always been a fan of that character.
Yeah.
So the Red Blade people, I'm not going to say Sith, whatever. Obviously it is the search for Ezra. We got that shot of Sabine looking at a hologram.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
We've got confirmation that Hera is there. We had Sabine and Ahsoka and Ezra on stage together, so it is the Rebels 2.0. But what that trailer revealed is that it seems to also be really putting some spotlight on Ahsoka as one of the last of a dead order. She had a line of, you know, the Jedi fell so long ago, there aren't a lot of Jedi left.
Yeah.
That and the idea of the presence of, I think what was exciting to me about Red Blade people is like, cool, someone for Ahsoka to fight. Awesome.
Yeah,
and
Ezra, once he gets
back in and swinging. But the idea of, if one of the core reasons for the Jedi Order to exist is to be the balance that stops the dark side from consuming everything. Mm. Lor San Tekka says, without the Jedi, there can be no balance. You know, Google George Lucas's great speech where he explains what the balance of the Force means to him in the Clone Wars writing room of, in nature, it's imbalanced. But then people who use the dark side want to take everything.
Right.
So if Ahsoka's hurting about the Jedi Order falling, about Anakin falling, being disconnected and going, there are dark side users rising. And this is the most essential reason that the Order existed, because who else can stand against them?
Yeah.
The idea that the show is going to get into some of that Jedi philosophy was some of the most exciting to me.
Yeah, yeah. It isn't just about a simple search for Ezra, huh?
Yeah.
It immediately, I've been excited about the Ahsoka series, but it felt bigger to me. The trailer felt bigger to me.
Yeah.
And more important, I'm a huge fan of Rebels. So the search for Ezra and Rebels 2.0 is not a bad thing.
He'd answer that question of, is this Rebels? Why is it called Ahsoka if it's just Ahsoka teaming up with the Rebels to get Ezra and continuing the story of Rebels? This made it clear, like, this is Ahsoka's journey. She feels the responsibility to be the Jedi. And obviously, I think at some point that will dovetail with the timeline of her encountering Luke, knowing that he's starting his school. All that is still left to be determined. Rey Skywalker was my biggest yell.
Mm-hmm.
Second biggest yell. Yang, who was in some footage, but this time he spoke. And I'm telling you, as a fan of Doctor Who, that was David Tennant voicing Professor Yang. And I think having a kind of a response to at least the way the trailer was cut to Ahsoka saying there aren't many Jedi left, and Hu Yang's response, at least in the trailer, being like, well, let's see what we can do about that. Something along those lines.
Yes.
So, exciting. exciting.
No, no. Like I said, I'm really excited for it, and never wasn't. But to know that it's not just a simple continuation; it has its own place in the Star Wars story.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not surprising, but welcome.
Yeah, really great confirmation. I'm glad that one's public. Mm-hmm. So we are getting closer to the end of the episode. We're going to try to keep this to just an hour so it doesn't take us 24 hours to upload it.
I'm using hotel Wi-Fi, folks.
So let's get on to Acolyte then.
Oh, man.
Yeah, Acolyte was thrilling. A lot of the information is public. The footage we saw is not public. So you should be careful about that.
Yeah.
I think a couple of the really great things... Well, we had Leslie Headland walk out with a Briyaga looking High Republic Wookiee. People cheered. We learned that Wookiee is a Jedi Master named Kalnoka, mm-hmm. played by Yunus Suatamo, Suatamo. The name is challenging. I've listened to him correct everyone who's ever said his name, so I own the fact that I don't know the exact correct way to say it. But that confirmation, Leslie Headland said that she pitched this show to Kathleen Kennedy as the animated movie Frozen meets Kill Bill.
So good.
That it's about the villain's perspective.
Yeah.
That it's loaded with Jedi. This isn't just we're going to watch Darksiders skulk around in the darkness.
Mm-hmm.
She is taking full advantage of the Jedi everywhere. All the cast announcements that were confirmed, a lot of Jedi in there from what they confirmed. She talked about being really inspired by Kurosawa, the Shaw Brothers films.
Mm-hmm.
She talked about being aware that there isn't in that timeline space for a huge galactic conflict.
Right.
So she really looked to the Star Wars tradition of conflict between a master and an apprentice, conflict between a brother and a sister, in that these are going to be big explosive conflicts, but they're going to be coming out of this really personal, and she said, spiritual place.
Yeah, exactly. She said schools of thought versus a lone warrior, the wars of a spiritual nature. This is about power and who is allowed to use it, which is that's interesting in a show that's supposedly from the villain's perspective.
Yep.
About who you're telling me I can't use this for that. Very Star Wars-y. She's such a Star Wars fanatic. We've known that. I've been so excited for the series and to finally get more information, stuff even we can't talk about. We'll talk about the vibes. What we did see, it looks so unique to Star Wars.
It looked really good. Looked like we don't know how it was shot.
Yeah.
We don't know if this show shot on the volume or not, but it looked really great.
Yeah.
There was one species that you and I cheered for that it was exciting. I'm not going to say anything more about that.
Yep.
But I think the thing that I do feel comfortable saying about it, because they also talked about it in the actual presentation, which is that there are, I believe they mentioned by name, I didn't get the names, two fight choreographers.
Yes. Yeah.
And they mentioned them like they were in a role like Nick Gillard.
Yes.
Not as like, we're shooting a Star Wars and we need a fight, so this person's going to help us with the pew-pew-pew. There's going to be a couple of lightsaber strikes. This was the, hey, this is what we're doing.
Yeah.
We need two fight coordinators who are auteurs of combat. The combat looked like this isn't thrown in on the sides to keep the Star Wars quota. This looks like it was built out of... some of the samurai Eastern style combat, and it looks like it's built to say, hey, if we have a bunch of Jedi in their prime and then some people going dark, we're going to make you feel that.
Yeah.
It looked phenomenal.
I won't get into the details. I'm sure there's, we had some jack wagon behind us live streaming to his YouTube channel. It was kicked out of the press corps after the event. And so, unfortunately, some of this stuff is out there. And if you want to look at it, I'll never judge you. But wait till you can get this and experience it the way it's supposed to be seen by Lucasfilm on a trailer or something like that. It was really some breathtaking footage. And I think they shot most of it in London. There might be some straight stagecraft sets out there. I don't want to turn this into a stagecraft, a.k.a. the volume versus you know, practicals. I don't want to turn it into that fight. But there's at times a big difference. We've seen Andor versus some of the stuff. And this show, I can't – it had not looked like anything else I've seen in Star Wars, including down to the fight. You know, no secret Carrie Amos is in it. We got to see some of the footage with her. It's like 1999 all over again. Matrix, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, and Phantom Menace.
Yeah.
Take the fight from Phantom Menace, put those films together, and you got kind of what we saw. And I don't want to say much more, but I've been waiting so much for this show. I'm such a fan of everything Leslie Headland has said about Star Wars in any interview. And man, just so far it's delivered.
She was charming. She was funny. She was clear. She knew exactly what this show was. She knew how to communicate it with yeah. style. The actors yeah. all talked about how much training they did and what it is to hold a lightsaber.
Did you see in the panel itself, Daphne Keene, I forget the actor next to her, but they seem to have a lot of scenes together. They were on the Star Wars live stage as we were walking out of there. They both started talking about the training and they both did spin moves with their microphones.
Yeah.
Just naturally. I'm like, oh, they got this.
They got this. Yeah. And I think that's what's thrilling to me is, I've loved a lot of the combat that we've got in recent mm-hmm. Star Wars storytelling. I think Ahsoka versus the character's name I'm forgetting in the Mandalorian, the Jedi episode.
Oh, yeah.
L something. Ellie.
You know. Elsbeth.
Elsbeth.
Morgan Elsbeth.
Morgan Elsbeth. There, we got there together. Ellie, you know, when she fought Ellie. Yeah. I think that fight is great. It's so stylized. I love Vader versus Kenobi.
Oh, yeah. I just watched that again. Yeah.
Yeah, part mm-hmm. six in particular. But I just feel like it's been a while since that prequel level. We're going to have somebody like Nick Gillard who is not just – mm-hmm. you know, coordinating one fight, but an odd tour. This mm-hmm. is going to be a big chunk of the point. It's not and we need to accomplish this. It's this is what we're doing today.
Yeah. Well, it's that thing that went around, you know, whether it's directly said from George Nada, but just like the prequels versus the original trilogy, you know, you have Alec Guinness and David Prowse and Bob Anderson walking around and Mark Hamill doing a lot of heavy lifting in Return of the Jedi, too. But the prequels are the Jedi at the top of their game kind of fighting.
Mm-hmm.
You really got that vibe from here.
Yeah.
Really got the vibe.
I mean, I have been dying for years to see some choreography that's mm-hmm. like the Phantom Menace, where you pull the camera way back for a big chunk.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there's no cuts. It's just those two actors doing it that fast.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hold on to your butts, kids. I think Acolyte's going to be a big win. I think it's going to be a big win.
Yep, absolutely. Okay, so we only have a few minutes left, and we got a couple other things that I don't know how much we can talk about. Skeleton Crew.
Yeah.
We did get to see some footage. We did get a big piece of clarity in that footage. Maybe it's all over the internet. Everybody listening knows we want to be respectful.
If there's one reveal about Jude Law, it is out there.
It is.
Whether or not it was intended to or not,
but it's
I think it's out there.
Okay.
He is supposedly a Jedi.
Yeah. So there was a Jedi confirmation.
A force. We'll even
a force use.
A force. And the answer of he's a Jedi is not given. How about that?
Yeah, there was some force use, and after the Kenobi show in the great, you're just using tricks with magnets.
Yeah.
I'm really hoping he actually is because it's interesting storytelling. Yes. I also feel like I know there's been a lot of talk about Lor San Tekka. I don't know that it's boxed in that Lor San Tekka is not a force user.
Look, I've been. Really, that rumor got me excited. There's just something about it. It's still possible. But I'm completely open to being someone else. It would make almost just as much sense. And I know we can't talk. We want to keep some of the details out. I'll just say this. You hear it's John Watts and Chris Ford had worked on this. Watts had soft pitched it to Kathleen Kennedy even before Disney Plus existed. And then while working with Favreau in London on Spider-Man, kind of. I thought it was fun. Favreau's like, want to come direct Mando? And he's like, oh, I got a better. Can I do this? And can I do this show? And here we got the show. And talk about it being about kids. That doesn't mean it's just for kids. About kids with that Amblin feel that I think Kathleen Kennedy knows a thing or two about.
Yep.
The trailer, without giving too much away, down to including a shot of a neighborhood at night that you would almost expect E.T. to walk out of. It immediately set forth the Amblin 80s kid venture. And I think so little's known about it. I'm even more intrigued and excited than I was.
Yeah, I think that without saying anything else qualitative about the bit of footage we saw, the stakes felt like they were there.
Yeah.
It felt like, these are kids, and this is not a cute, like, oh, shucks, we wandered down an alley, and here's a meanie. It was really like those kids are going to die unless they get some help and take their – and have to face the challenges of being out there.
Yeah.
And exactly a lot of stuff that we talked about recently, they said it almost verbatim. This is about the wonder of stepping out into the galaxy and the terror that it's even harder than you thought, which just goes to that Amblin Entertainment, Spielbergian – first steps into adulthood. You encounter the wonder and you encounter the terror and you need mentors to guide you. And that this all is the heart of it. And still no real clue of how it might kind of tie into the Mandoverse. I personally don't think it's just like, it's in the New Republic era, so it's kind of under the Mandoverse banner. I think there's something more to be revealed.
I absolutely think so.
And there, anyway, I'll leave that alone. All right, we are heading towards wrapping up. The panel did spend a bunch of time on Andor season 2. We did get to see not even trailer, but like kind of a highlight reel of Blaster's emotional distress and some new outfits, like.
I'll say this. So Andor is still shooting. It's about halfway through the shoot. It's supposed to shoot till this August. And then Tony Gilroy said that, we go a year of post-production. So we're looking well into 2024. He even kind of said, I guess we're on the same schedule. So August 2024, I didn't see Kathleen Kennedy nod or shake her head. So we'll see. But They spent a lot of time. They had most of the cast out. Andy Serkis was great. Leading a one way out chant. There was a lot of cool stuff.
Denise Gow was hilarious. She was
great.
Clearly like a firecrack type personality of like, hey, if anybody just wants to leave me up here with a microphone, I got a million funny stories. She was great.
You think of every actor being maybe a card or a class clown. That's so far from the truth. You could tell which ones are just like, I'm only comfortable if I'm on set playing another role. Kyle Soler seemed okay, but I don't think he would do a one-man monologue. She in the best way possible brought so much wonderful energy to, I will say, a longer part of the panel, the beginning.
It was.
We're all kind of waiting to get to the main event. She brought some energy to it. Yeah, but the stuff was great. The footage, the little vibe trailer was, it's everything you expect.
Yeah, and there's a Mothma line that thrilled me.
Yes.
Mothma's in the Ahsoka trailer, isn't she?
Mothma, you and I didn't even talk about that. It was so hard to get out of the convention hall today. I'll just say that.
Truly frightening.
It was truly traumatic.
It was like if somebody fell down,
trampled,
many people would be injured. It was scary.
Yeah, it was actually kind of concerned. So we were more focused on that. Mothma in the Ahsoka trailer is really awesome. I really like that.
It's Mothma in the New Republic era and that willingness to be like, okay, she's not Carolyn Blackstone. What are you going to do? But the power, this is how much news there was, folks.
Yeah.
They were just now getting to something that's huge.
Huge.
Mothma in the New Republic era. We've been I think, engaged with the New Republic storytelling in The Mandalorian, but both you and I wanting, like, can we hear from Leia? Can we hear from Mothma?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because my personal belief is they're trying.
Yeah.
They're having huge strides and huge success, and all we get to hear is Greef Karga complain.
We love Greef.
Yeah.
And by the way, Carl Weathers didn't say anything other than one sentence as he left, and it owned the building.
It owned the building. He was absolutely in control. And then, so Mando, they played, like we said, the opening of next week's episode. They are going to play for a lot of people next week's episode. Ken and I are not going to be able to make that. But the last thing is basically the first thing we said on this episode. Yeah. If you've been having a hard time with this season of Mandalorian, I think it's understandable. There are a lot of taste things. There are a lot of questions of where is this all going. That intro was basically like, let's tie a lot of stuff together for you.
Yeah. And Rick Famuyiwa was up there talking about this season was so much about cultures and them coming together and the Mandalorians being at the center of that. It all makes sense.
Yeah.
It all makes sense. And this is not just about Mando this season, which is clearly has a wider scope, but Book of Boba Fett, Skeleton Crew, like you're mentioning.
Rick name checked Book of Boba Fett of like these next two episodes, we're everything we've built in the first two seasons of Mandalorian, Book of Boba Fett, it's all coming together.
Yep.
It's big. And John Favreau also always has this. He always has this energy at the panels, like he's an uncle who's giving you candy, too much candy, and he's just asking that you don't tell your parents. He always has this energy of like, we're going to show you guys these treats. Yeah. Come on, don't tell other people, because there's some big stuff in this episode.
Yeah.
That's real exciting, but don't share it with anyone.
I mean, trust me, I want to. But Rick said something, too, it, right around the time you're talking about, too, when he name-checked Book of Boba Fett and everything, of just like, you know, just kind of talking about what they're doing and oh, my God, what did he say? I didn't write it down. I told her. He even said something about it. He goes, yeah, like, what are we – who or what are we even talking about with the title? What does the title The Mandalorian even mean? Is something that we're answering in a way. And I'm paraphrasing that end of it there. But I thought that was great because we've asked that. Who hasn't asked that?
Yeah.
Who is the Mandalorian? Is it Grogu? Is it – It's Din, but like it's now beyond that.
I feel like it's going to keep coming back to. And I know I've been banging this drum on episodes.
Bang it, go and get it on.
It is the who is the mysterious lone gunman in the first one. What does it mean to be a Mandalorian? And that answer of that first episode of you can't bear the child to look up and see death.
Yeah.
The child's got to see salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the same question that's happening now. These Mandalorians are coming together. They're getting more power. They're going to be a part of the galaxy again if they can survive.
Mm-hmm.
And who are they going to be? Are they going to be a terror? Are they going to be a scourge?
Yeah.
Or is the Mandalorian culture going to be somebody who, like they did in the episode on Nevarro, somebody looks up and says,
"Yeah,
we're saved. The Mandalorians are here."
Yes. And this idea, to me, it even goes back to stuff raised in the Clone Wars and Satine. And you could finally, you know, if we were ever to be on the same page as a culture, we'd be a pretty powerful force, not in a power grabbing sense, but we'd be an influential culture and world in this galaxy.
Yeah.
And that could be salvation to people or it could be death to people. And what your relationship to that idea or what they might be is what might drive you. So big things coming.
Big things coming. Very exciting. All right. I think we should wrap up so we can see how long this takes.
Let me check my batteries. I think the batteries are holding steady.
Okay, we cracked an hour.
Yeah.
In conclusion, I will say, Professor Yang, Mon Mothma in the New Republic era, Jedi Master Rey Skywalker is back. Those are the things that are putting a bounce in my step.
Yeah.
And the new Cloud Car Pilot action figure I got. But
which is great.
Ken, to wrap it up for us.
Yeah.
What are the things that are putting a bounce in your step? What out of all of this is making you just really excited for the future?
I keep going towards the Acolyte. I keep going towards the scope of Ahsoka being more than I expected, which is maybe my fault, not theirs. The fact that we're going forward with the movies, we do have an idea. They're pretty confident, and so confident that Daisy Ridley, an actor who does not need to come back to this, who could easily say that is in the past, has said, this is a story I want to continue. Some of her recent interviews talking about how proud she is of the story they did, the 7, 8, 9 story with Rey, the fact that she's like, this is great to go forward. I'm really intrigued by that.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
That is great. Well, that is our big look at the Lucasfilm panel. We will be back tomorrow to discuss the Ahsoka panel, and then we'll be recording one more episode of From My Hotel Room to just kind of see if there's any other news that drops. If there's no news on the Obi-Wan Kenobi panel, we'll just try to describe in loving detail the hugs between Hayden and Ewan.
There you go. There you go. All right, folks, thanks for listening. For those who are just finding us, we're on Twitter, Force Center Pod, Instagram, YouTube. We put one short up. We'll put some more shorts up. It's also when you're busy having fun, you forget to do posts and shorts, but we're going to do some of that too. Follow us there. And don't forget, if you want to support us directly, go to patreon.com/ForceCenter. We get some merch, tpublic.com/user/ForceCenter. You know the rest. Follow me at Ked Napsok, Joseph at Joseph Scrimshaw. And thanks to those who have taken time out of their busy celebration to say hello already. It means a lot. And this is only Friday. More days to come. More days to come. So that's it for this week or this day, this episode of Force Center.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Welcome to Sincerely Sloan, presented by Uninterrupted. I'm your host, professional tennis player, wife, parent, and entrepreneur, Sloan Stevens. As an athlete and as a person, my journey has had a lot of twists and turns, from moments of adversity and doubt to unimaginable triumph and satisfaction. Throughout the season, I'm joined by some of the biggest names in sports, entertainment, culture, and a few members of my tribe. Our conversations keep it real and push it past skin deep. We reveal the perspectives, routines, and products that allow each of us to show up at our best. Join me on my journey of self-discovery and many, many laughs along the way. Sincerely, Sloan.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.